Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, hide me in thy glory, in the secret place of your holiness and grace. Where I worship in thy presence, bless your name and give you reverence. Hide me where the hands of mercy covers me from the enemy. Take one more chance. I need you to hide me when my strength is weak. Hide me when my eyes want to take one more glance. Oh, hide me. Lord, I need you to hide me.
you gotta cover me from myself. Even in the enemy you hide in me. Even in the enemy you hide.
Thank you, Jesus. That's a beautiful song. Well, welcome to They Overcame. I am so excited about the things that God is doing with this broadcast and with the lives of our listeners, the testimonies that we're receiving. God is so good to us, and I just thank Him. I thank Him. I praise Him. We're going to start the program off with prayer. And I'm going to ask my honey to pray for us. Honey, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. You want to start us off with prayer?
Let us all look to the Lord, because we just have so much to be.
Well, it seems like I lost Honey, but he can call back in, and we'll get him back on the air. In the meantime, okay, in the meantime, we have an awesome man of God that's going to be coming on today, and I'm so proud to say that he is my great nephew, and it seems like we're back, so we're going to go on with the prayer.
Father, we just thank you, because as the song says, you are awesome, and you can move mountains, and for so much we have to worship you for. You are our Father. You are our provider. You are our everything. Lord, you just mean so much. And we just want to take this time to say, Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. We give you honor and glory. For if it had not been for you on our side, where would we be? We would have lost our minds. We would be homeless. We would be so messed up. But, Lord, you just so good that we just worship you and honor you. In the name of Jesus, we pray your blessings on this broadcast today. We thank you for every caller that's going to call in that has already tuned in. Thank you for every one that will listen to the archives, even in days to come and weeks and years to come. Father, you have a word for every one of them. We are so blessed today to just know you, to have you, and we just can't say thank you enough. Lord, that's our focus today, is just to say thank you. We are going into the last week of the first month of a brand new year, a year that some did not make it over into, but Lord, you brought us through for such a time as this, and now we just yield out our hands and our hearts to you, for you to let us know what your will is, and then for us to walk in that will. For we know that great things you have in store for us and for your kingdom. And Lord, we yield ourselves to be vessels used by your hands to do those great things in the kingdom. Fix our hearts, Lord God, and our minds. Let them be stayed on you. Holy Spirit, unctionize us to do all that you have called us to do, Lord. In the name of Jesus, bless this broadcast. Every speaker, every caller, the moderator, in the name of Jesus, let bountiful blessings just be upon them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, honey, for that prayer. And like I was saying, so excited. We have an awesome man of God that is coming on today, and he is my great nephew, and he is just has a testimony that hold on to your seats, because God is going to be glorified in this young man, being glorified in this young man's life, and we're just so proud of him and thank God for him. And I'm going to bring Minister Timothy Hayes on now. You're on, Timothy.
Good morning. Good morning. How's it going there, auntie and uncle?
It's good. It's good. It's good. I am so proud of you and God is that God is doing in your life. And, of course, by being your aunt, I know about the things that God is doing. I know you from and just so thankful that you agreed to be a guest. We need young people. We're the older crowd, but we want all people to be drawn to this broadcast. And the Lord gave us this broadcast and gave us the name of the broadcast out of Revelation. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So we thank God for that, and we thank God that he has given us a platform. We have come under attack because of what we're doing, and that only encourages me. I know that the greater the attack, the greater the ministry is. With that, Tim.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, tell us a little bit about, or tell the audience a little bit about Timothy Hayes is, your family. You're brought up in a single parent home.
Yeah. Well, hello. I'll jump right in there. Hello, my name is Timothy Hayes. I am 21 years old currently until the end of next month. I am a student at American Baptist College in Nashville, Tennessee currently, but I am born and raised in Kansas City, Missouri, in the inner city. And as my auntie has greatly stated, that I am a product of a single-parent home raised in the middle of the ghetto. I was blessed and fortunate enough to have a mother who is obtaining a doctor's degree as we currently speak right now in the nurse's field. So I had a stable household, but certain things that single-parent homes, the atmosphere, the culture that they bring, they will shape a child. And sometimes my mother, who spent a lot of time at church, at work, at school, my whole life, wasn't at home all the time, which opened up the door to a world of trouble for a young 15-year-old, 16-year-old like myself at that time. But I'm born and raised in Kansas City, Missouri. Always been grounded in the church. I can say that no matter what I did, even when I was at my worst times, I would wake up Sunday morning, half hungover, with the clothes I went on that I had on from last night from the club, but I still found a way to the church. And the Bible says, "Train up a child in the way it should go. When they get old, they will not depart from it." And I am a firm testimony that that scripture is living truth. a little bit about my city. We are one of the top 10 deadliest cities in America, if you guys did not know. For the last about 5-6 years, we have a very, very, very high crime rate, very low poverty, very high poverty rate. It's a city of nonsense. The city has been given a nickname by the city, the people who live in the city, as Killer City, in not Missouri, but Misery. And I hate to say it, but we have braced that image. And not only have we braced it, but we have our youth, our youngest 14 years old, are going out to try to make up their mission. Just yesterday, a 14-year-old brought a 9mm handgun with 13 rounds of bullets into the same school that my little brother lives in. So it's just not in Newtown, Connecticut. I mean, in Newtown, Connecticut, where there's violence and there's guns and there's problems, but in my city, there's a lot going on that the only Jesus Christ can overcome. The only the love of Christ can knock out the love of the power of evil in our city. I love it. I love it dearly. My family is still intact in Kansas City. We are grounded in Kansas City. I'm non-denominational. I go to a Baptist school. My mother has grew up in Greater Pentecostal Temple, Bishop Marvin E. Donaldson, which is in Kansas. And my father grew up in a church called New Bethel AME, which is also in Kansas City, Kansas, and home pastor Edward Walzer. And so my whole life, as I live with my mom Monday through Friday, we attended church at GPT. But on the weekends when I would go visit my dad, we attended church at Greater New Bethel AME. If you know anything about AME and Pentecostal, you know that it's too far-fetched religion. If one will say one is alive and one will say one is dead. But I grew up in that environment, living in two households, living in two different denominations and churches, which and the thing about it was my dad's household was totally different from my mom's. My mom was more grounded in success, trying to achieve and give us better. Well, my dad was more of, well, let's go to the fast way. And so while my mom showed me the hard way, my dad would show me the easy way, which I thought was the easy, which was really the wrong way and the long way. But my family had brothers and sisters. I have to give them a shout out. I love them dearly. Lauren Hamilton, Jordan Richardson, Robert Taylor. I have to give, I don't know if any of my family listen, but my grandmothers, my mother, my father, anyone else who's listening out there, if you tweet me or Facebook me, I would love to give you a shout out because you got up early this morning just to hear how I have overcome. So I would love to give a shout out to anyone who's out there. You can tweet me or Facebook me if you have my information. KC Purple Boy and Boy is spelled with an I on Twitter, and Minister Timothy Hayes on Facebook.
That's awesome, Tim. That's awesome. And I did send an email out to the family because this family is grounded in prayer and in God. We have a prayer that is a special day of prayer every 24th of every month, that we come together individually in our homes, in our own places, and have prayer. We send prayer requests out. And the legacy is your grandfather, your great-grandfather. Well, that would be your great-great-grandfather on your grandmother's side. Was a pastor. And your grandmother, an awesome woman of God that served God. Even in well into her 80s, she ushered in her 3-inch heels. she was awesome. She was an awesome woman on the the local church level and on the national level. She was a warrior for God, and she believed in prayer and raising the family up, and she was really the pillar of the family. She was the oldest sister, Emma Burns. And she was the eldest sister of her clan, and she carried on the legacy of her family, her parents, after they went on to be with the Lord. So, Timothy, let me, how old are you?
I am 21 currently.
Okay, you're 21, so you're with John, and you didn't hear John last week gave his testimony about how...
No, ma'am, I missed John.
Yeah, how God blessed him, and but your story is you came from the inner city, as most of us have, and I know at one time you were pretty wild. You kind of got out there.
Yeah. Well, I can go into some depth. Well, let's. When you brought up my great grandmother, that's I usually don't talk about it. It's so dear to my heart. But my grandmother, Emma Burns, I can remember being little as maybe 8 or 9, and at Thanksgiving, our family would come together at my grandmother Louise's house, and we would come together, and Grandma always would bring this bag. And every Thanksgiving, she had this mystery bag. She had all these things in this bag, and every year, Grandma would give me something relating towards the Bible. I would get a Bible. I would get praying hands. I would get something that always reminded me of God. And then when it was time before dinner, when it was time to say the family prayer, and our family, as we say the prayers heavily, we believe in prayer. Prayer still works. And Grandma put that in us at an early age, but she didn't say that you have to be old to pray. And I remember we'd go around the circle and we'd hold hands and everyone would pray. Then Grandma Burns would say, "Well, Timothy, are you going to end?" You say the last prayer. Never knew. I was far fetched from a preacher. I, fresh out of high school, I had the mind frame that I don't need to go to college because of the fact that half of the millionaires who are millionaires today did not go to graduate college. I didn't want to go to college. I wanted to sell drugs. I wanted to work and put my life away. I wanted to find the easiest way to the richest, the wealth. I wasn't grounded in who I was. I didn't know who I truly was. And it takes me back to days where, like I used the Bible verse earlier, you train a child up the way it goes, they will never depart from it. And it takes me back to those days when my grandmother would make me pray. And it was in the 7th grade. I actually was racially profiled, and I was kicked out of school. And my family got an attorney. We fought it, and we ended up losing our case and everything. But I was end up kicked out of school, and I was in the 7th grade. I was out of school for an entire month. I would never forget it. But when I went to the Bible, there was only one book my whole life that I ever wanted to read. And actually, I didn't realize it was two books then, but I thought it was just one book. And it was the book of Timothy. And the only reason I wanted to read Timothy is because my name was Timothy. And I remember being in the 7th grade. Everyone was home. I was home by myself every day, kicked out of school. And I'm talking to God. And in the 7th grade, I guess how old are you in the 7th grade? I forgot. But I'm connecting with God. No one's at home with me. No one's blocking me. I remember getting in the bathtub in the 7th grade with a yellow notepad and a pen in Matthew 6. I wrote my first sermon, and I was in the 7th grade. Did not know what I was doing. I wish I could find that sermon. I don't know what it's on that paper. But I remember in the 7th grade, and I was preaching to myself in the bathtub. That night, we went to a revival at Greater Pentecostal Temple. The minister was Robbie Warren. Now, I'll never forget. And it was a youth revival. And the minister was Robbie Warren. He said, "If you want God to be in your life, God has told you that he's in your life. Get down on your knees and pray." And I went to the altar, and I got down on my knees and prayed. And as the song says, "Take your shoes off because this is holy ground." And I remember at the seventh grade being filled with the Holy Ghost. I was at my weakest. I was by myself. I was being labeled something that I knew that I did not do. I was, this was before I even hit into a lot of trouble. I was still getting good grades at this time, and I got kicked out of school, and I didn't understand. Like, God, why is everybody else at school and I'm home? Why can't I was in a charter school? Why won't the public school accept me? Like, I'm not understanding how, why would God put me in that situation? And even in the seventh grade, I knew it had to do something with God. And I searched through answers in the Bible. And the only book I could read, the only book I cared about was Timothy. And my favorite Bible verse to this day is still 1 Timothy 4:12, which is, "No, let no man despise the youth, but thou dost have example of the believers in the word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, in love." And I was young, and I didn't, in my community, to be a preacher wasn't accepted. You can go to church still, but, I mean, you're a preacher? Like, no. You smoke all this weed. You've been drinking since you were 15. You've been smoking weed since you were 10. Like, how can you become a preacher now? And it just wasn't adding up. But something about that Bible, something about those prayers Grandma used to make me pray at Thanksgiving time, something about going to church. In my household, it wasn't an option. Our family, it wasn't an option. I wasn't going to church. My mother made us go to church every Sunday. And so even Sundays I didn't want to go to church with my mom, I would call my other grandfather on my father's side, and I would go to church with them. But I had to get out of her house on Sundays. I had to go to church. It wasn't an option. And things that are like rooted inside of me at an early age, it saved my life. It saved my life. As I said, in the seventh grade, and I was filled with the Holy Ghost that night at the youth revival by Minister Robert Warren. He was the speaker that day, filled with the Holy Ghost. I knew then that I was a preacher. I knew. I went home later that night, and I picked that same sermon up, and I went through it, and I'm like, wow, God, wow. And it just, he revealed himself to me. It was a revelation. It was the truth. It was the truth of God. He was revealing himself to me at an early age. But as so many of us do, I ran from it. One of my biggest regrets of life is running from that calling, because I have lost so many friends due to the jail cells, due to that gang violence, death of gang violence. And I just have lost so many friends and families and cousins that I feel like, if you were to answer your call in the seventh grade, what could the difference that you could have impact on all of them? So many people who are close to me. I have three or four friends who I have raised under me, and I have taught how to sell guns. I have sold guns to. I was who they looked up to, and they wanted to be like. Now they're in jail serving 100 years. I have one friend who has three life sentences. He's not even 21 yet. And wow. I ask God, why, God? Why me? Why did you save my life? Why? I can recall on 47th in Cleveland, Kansas City, Missouri. If any followers out there, any listeners out there from Kansas City, Missouri, 47th in Cleveland, at 2 o'clock at night one night, I'm driving, but I was currently smoking marijuana in the car. I had a TV screen in my car so you could see the smoke in my car. The officer pulled me over and said, obviously you're smoking. Ran my tags. I did not have insurance. I did not have license. I had a 9mm in my back seat. I had 2 pieces of crack cocaine on me. I had a warrant. The officer pulled me out of the car. He said, you're high. I have a right to search the car, but I'm not going to search it.
My God.
Then the officer says, I have to take you to jail. You have a warrant. You don't have any license. Me, I'm thinking I'm going to jail. I'm thinking I'm about to get more cases. The officer points out a yellow piece of paper. He says, I'm going to let you sign yourself away, a signature bond. Never had to go behind bars. Never searched my car. If I would have searched my car, I probably would not be here today. But those are testimonies that God was giving me along the way to let me know that your life has a purpose. I remember bullets walking past my ears. My best friend Isaiah Jackson, his car has been shot up, and on my side, but the bullet never hit. Many a times, police officers have let us go, and I just always wonder why. I'm right now. I'm walking around my house. I'm looking at my wall. I have the Kansas City paper. They have a paper called The Call and they put the black people who died in this. It's the black newspaper of Kansas City. On one page, I have highlighted three people who I know who have been killed the same day, the same time. Three of my friends I went to high school with. And I'm walking around my house looking at my life. I have my life on my wall. So I have quotes. I have pictures. I have stories. And I just ask the question, God, why did you not take my life? And then as I continue on through my journey, and he kept saving me. He kept getting me out of the mess, and he kept pulling me out. Oh, one day, I was in my apartment, and I was in tune with God. I was there. I knew I was there, and I started writing. My dad has two kids, me and my sister. My sister, Vanessa Hayes, got shot four times in a drive-by shooting by AK-47. She got shot in her arms and her legs. She was down. She was out. This particular sibling of mine has been really disconnected from my family my whole life, from my father, from my grandfather, everyone on my father's side of the family. She really meant a lot to me. It really means I guess, since she wasn't there, I always longed for her and always wanted her to be around. But get the call. Actually, I was at the church lock-in when she got shot on June 6th. And we get the call that my sister got shot. And so after time goes by, like I said, I was in my apartment, and I'm sitting there, and God speaks to me for my sister. And so I began to write once again. This is before I even had a thought about being a preacher still. I'm still slinging dope, basically. So I'm writing. And I said, Lord, this doesn't make sense to me. I got all this on this paper, but it's not making sense to me. And so God told me something. He said, it's not for you. What you got to realize that your life is not for you. Mm. My sister came over that evening. I read her what I had on the paper. I said, it don't make sense to me. But you listen. And she just cried. And all I can say is, Vanessa, I'm a preacher. And it still was 2 years later until I announced my calling publicly to my mother that I was a preacher. And Dr. Teresa Fry Brown, the president of Emory, and she came in town and she met me. And we sat down and we had a detailed discussion. And one thing that I can say that she told me, one thing that I'll never forget, and I have to remind myself two or three times a week when I look around, I'm all by myself. That you're signing up for one of the longest journeys of your life, but God will be with you. And if my life hasn't told me anything else, I know that it's going to be a long journey, but I know that God has been with me, so God is going to be with me. And it's just, I can cry. I rarely tell my testimony. I try to block out some of the bad images that I have in my mind from my past, just so I can think positive. But as I'm sitting here and I'm thinking over my life, I can't stop talking now. I didn't know what I was going to say. Now I can't stop talking. But I just want whoever's out there that's listening that it's not over until God says it's over. I've been counted out by my own family. I've been counted out by my friends. My little big brothers, I call them. Minister Roland Caldwell from Detroit, Michigan. He turned 21 Thursday. And people looked at me and they said, you acting like you turned 21. I said, because I know his story, and I know my story, and we was not supposed to make it here to see 21. Not only was this kind of like, just like my parents thought I wasn't going to make it, his parents thought he wasn't going to make it. And just to see 21, I know it might not seem like nothing. It might not feel like nothing, but to make it to see 21, I feel like I lived a long life. If God was to take me now, I have made it past the average age in my city to make for a young black male. I have made it. I'm in college. I have achieved more than half of the young black men from my city probably will ever achieve, because they're locked into a mental prison that they can't get out of. They are locked in slavery. The oppression is so bad in our city that it has tapped us to minds, and they don't have us in whips. They don't have us. They're not whipping us no more. Have us in chains. All they're doing is locking us in prison and locking us in this community that we can't get out of. And all I can do is just pray.
But God, Tim, but God, just like we have listeners that are all over the world, and we had a few weeks ago, we had a caller from the UK, and so that was encouraging to me. I said that, you know, that people all over the world can hear this, and they're hearing your testimony, and they have family members, Tim, that have gone through what you've gone through, and just a hopeless situation. Do you think that you will ever go back to Kansas?
Yes, I definitely. I have to go back. I have to. I feel like God has put me through all this, not for me, but for someone else. And who better can I relate to than the people who seen me out there in the streets, who the people who seen me doing the things I was doing, who the people who knew truly. And when they can see me now, they can see that there is a God somewhere. Because if God can do it for him, then I know God can do it for me. And I have to go back. When I get back to Kansas City, after I finish get my BA here in Nashville, Tennessee, I would definitely be going back to get right back in the community that I left, that I helped destroy somewhat, that I added to the negativity and the evil. I'm going back, game violence. And I have a plan, prayerfully, that I'm going to start my own church in Kansas City, but I'm not going to start it as a normal church. I'm going to start doing different ministries for young men, for young women, for older, mid-aged teenagers, mid-aged adults who are just looking for a positive influence. We have everything negative in this world. We don't have enough positive. Just like Facebook. I started a group called Facebook Church, and one day I was sitting around and I said, on Facebook there is a game. There is a way that you could do anything in the world but serve Jesus Christ. On this Facebook, we're on it all day long. People are on it from the moment they get up to the moment they go to bed. And there's no place on here to worship. And I seen a need for worship. So I created Atmosphere, and I've created a group called Facebook Church. And I look forward to going back into my community and doing other activities as such and trying to help someone else. Because the thing that I have noticed most about my culture, my generation, is that we want change. We want better. We're happy to have a black president for 4 more years because that gives us hope that we can do more, that we can be more. And we have to not give up on our generation, because if we give up on them, then they will give up on themselves. Everyone's not going to have the willpower and have the strong mind to get over the hump, but we can't give up on our generations. We have to stop telling our kids that they're bad, that they're not going to be anything, because the fact that we're giving them that mind frame, once they get it, it's embedded into their theology. So now when they go to God and say, God, I know I'm not nothing. I know you can't do nothing with me besides going to the mind frame that, God, I'm just a sinner like everyone else. I know, God, you can use me still, but we tell them that they're negative, they're bad, there's no need for church, there's no need because you're just so far off. In that mental grill we put in our generation, in this society that listens to rap music, that listens to watch BET all day and MTV, and they're watching all these reality TV shows and such, my society is stuck in that mind frame. They're watching Real Husband, Housewives, or Hollywood, or whatever the Kevin Hart new show is, and basketball, and Bad Girls Club. They're stuck in that society. So we can't give up on reaching them. We have to reach them in the ways that they want it. If they want to watch TV, we have to give them TV programs. Let's have the First Lady show. Let's show them the life of First Lady besides basketball-wise. We have to find different, you know, creative ways as Christians to reach out and grab more non-believers or people who are just on the edge. And I feel like Kansas City's on the edge, and I have to go back. I feel like that is my calling in that city, to go back and do what God wants me to do. I don't know what God has planned for me all yet, but I know that whatever He has, I'm willing to do. I remember my last Sunday in Kansas City before I came to school. My great auntie sung a song. It was "Yes, Lord," and I said from the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul, "I'll do what you want me to do, Lord. I'll go where you want me to go." And we have to have more of that willing attitude. And I'm going back to Kansas City. I have to.
Yes. There's a yes. That comes from each of us. And we see that we, your story is so inspiring, Tim. It's a story of tragedy, where you were once in the pit of hell with the drug usage, and even then your leadership was as exposed, because you were saying that you taught people how to sell drugs, and you taught people how to do the things that were not pleasing to God. But God pulled you out of the miry clay, hallelujah,
yeah.
Gave you a platform, and you do have a platform, and we will be praying for you. I'm just so happy, you know, that because of, it looks like because of where you came from, because your legacy is God, and you were raised in a godly home. But God can use anyone. And I want you to expound on that, because everyone that is used by God does not come from a godly home.
No, no. And actually, we have a saying here on the Holy Hill, is that Jesus still sits at the table with sinners. And if you open that little book up called the Bible, you will realize that the majority of the people who God used been through something. I mean, Paul was a murderer of Christians. He wrote half of the New Testament, or was accounted for some part of half of the New Testament. You can go look at Matthew. He was a tax collector. You go look at the woman in John 4. She had five husbands before she met Jesus at the well at midday, that she wasn't even supposed to be at. And you have to go and you have to realize that no one's perfect. No one's perfect. We can only be perfect through God and in God through Jesus Christ. And we all make mistakes. God can use the crackhead off the street. We joke as preachers, and we always say that the drunk on the corner knows the Bible better than us, so we have to make sure we study. Just because he's drunk does not mean he doesn't know the Bible. And we never can get the mind frame that God does not love us anymore, that God does not care for us anymore, because that's when we begin to lose our faith, and that's when we begin to lose our hope. And we have to stay anchored in hope, because what the Bible tells us, what the Bible story is all about, and one of my favorite passages is the 10 lepers in Luke who got clean, and the Samaritan leper who went back. And that was Jesus on his final leg from his journey to Jerusalem. He was letting us know that I'm opening up the doors to heaven for all, not black, not white. Because the Samaritan man who went back was not supposed to be in the village. He wasn't a Jew or a Gentile. He wasn't supposed to be anywhere near them. And God opened the doors for him and said, "See, your faith has made you well. Now rise and go." He had a disease of leprosy that he thought he could never get rid of. It would kill him in the lifespan of 30 years. He had 30 years to live. The things he was going through, he knew that it was going to bring death in 30 years. But God sent his son all the way down and go steps to heaven just for me, just for you. Not as a collective, but individually. We have to realize that God has a purpose for each of our lives, and if we find that purpose, then we will still be trying to find ourselves. And we have to find ourselves through God so we can be revealed and be perfect in God's eyes. Because no one, and I repeat, no one, I don't care what church you go to, I don't care where part of the country you're from, no one is perfect. Everyone has some skeletons in their closet. Everyone has some things that they're high and that they're ashamed of. But we must not let those things that we're ashamed of be more powerful than our love for God. We have to always remember that God loves us and God can use anybody at any given time. I have started, and since I've been in this college, it has caused me to think so deeply. And my friend said, you need to stop trying to figure out why all the time. But I just sometimes ask, why is God putting this person in my life? Why is this homeless man sitting on my window asking me for a dollar right now? Why? And you have to get to that point where you realize that everything happens for a reason. Like, God does not do anything by mistake. God does not send the Jehovah Witness to your door on Saturday mornings. Knowing that you are a Christian, he still sends a Jehovah Witness to let you know that if you don't want to come this way, there's still someone out here that cares about you. Us Christians, we don't go door-to-door like the Jehovah Witnesses. Because the fact that we think that we can just, you know, get people to come to our building and to our church inside the building. But sometimes we have to go out to let people know that God still loves you. And once we as Christians can get that mind frame that we have to go out and reach and go out and get folks as Jesus did in their conditions, not in our conditions, we have to go out and get them off the boat and say, stop fishing for fish and come fish for me. And God can use us. And God will use them because I'm a firm believer that for every person there is alive, someone in their life will not meet God unless it's through them. And someone in every single last one of our lives that needs to meet God, but the only way they're going to meet them is through us. And we have to always be ready and we always have to be conscious that God might be using us. And it might not be for our glory, but for his glory at all times.
Yes, we have to emulate. You're so right, Brother Timothy. We have to come out of our four walls of our church because as we look at the church world now, I remember a time that we would go to a convention and the convention would be standing room only. I received a picture from one of our church is one of our mega churches in Chicago. The pastor has gone on to be with the Lord, and now his son is pastoring. And I don't know what service this was, but the church was empty. It was empty. And I said, Lord, I was there for a wedding, I guess. It was last March to my home church. I was talking to one of the evangelists, and she was making the argument, not an argument, but for lack of a better word, that we have to bring people into the church. And myself and my goddaughter, who has a salon, were telling her, you know, that in our opinion, she was saying that she ministers. She said, I minister to everyone that sits in my seat, in my chair, whose hair I do. She said, and if they need prayer, I stop right then and I pray for them. And she said, in my salon, everyone in there that works there is saved. So we'll come together and pray. And that's what God is looking for. Jesus walked up and down the country. He didn't call people into the synagogue. He walked up and down, and people came to him. And because of the glory and the drawing, that's what God is going to do with you, Timothy. And God is going to use you. I see it. God is going to use you to save. And don't even give up on your friends that are in prison. Because God, like you said, has the final word. Bishop George Bloomer, I don't know if you know him. Have you heard of Bishop George Bloomer?
No, I haven't, actually. Where is he located at?
He's actually here. But
okay, he's
Yeah, look him up. He is a native of New York, raised in the projects, was sentenced to a lot of years at Rackers Island, which is a big there in New York, and was released and has done great things for God. Has a, I think, I don't even know if he came out of high school. He certainly didn't go to college. But has written numerous books, and God is using him mightily. As a matter of fact, he comes on every night on the Word Network.
All right.
It's called Rejoice in the Word. Rejoice in the Word. But look him up, Timothy.
I surely will. He said Friday nights on the Word Network. I had to catch him one night.
Yeah, but look him up on Google him. Bishop George Bloomer. But go on, Tim. I'm so, what are you doing there? What are you doing in the city of Nashville, the mecca of country singing?
Yes, the country singing, the music city, a.k.a. the Bible Belt. Well,
Bible.
The city of Nashville, a little bit how I got to Nashville. I ended up in Nashville. A little bit more about my testimony. I barely graduated high school. It was by the grace of God. My mother called my high school every day for the last 60 days of the school. I was not living with my mother, was not aware of her calling until I seen the counselor, and the counselor in the hallway told me every day, I spoke to your mother. She's still trying to make sure you graduate. If it wasn't for my mother and God, I would have not graduated high school. Like I said, I never had the mind frame of wanting to go to college, never desired to go to college. It was not something that I just looked forward to. I was smart enough. I am smart enough still now, but I knew I was smart enough then where I could make it survive and have a nice living without going to college. And I had different plans. It just wasn't all negative. It just wasn't all street gang and violence. I had different other business opportunities that I wanted to go into and invest into. But after I accepted my calling publicly to my mother, I was actually living with my father. I moved out of my apartment, moved back to my father's house, and I kept telling everyone I was going to school, and that's all I said was I was going to school. I never told them that I was called to be a preacher. Only my mother knew. I never told them where I was going to school at. I just kept telling everyone I was going to school. So after I met with Dr. Teresa Fry Brown, she sent me a text message, and she sent the link of abc.nash.edu, and abcnash.edu. That's the website for American Baptist College. And I went on there, and I printed out the application. I filled it out, sent it in, and I just kept telling people I was going to school. I knew God was going to put me in school. I had one college application ever filled out in my life. They sent me back my acceptance papers. About 3 weeks before it was time for me to go, I set up arrangements to get down here. And once I got down here, I came to a college that's been here since 1924. It's a Baptist college. As I stated earlier, I was raised in Pentecostal and AME churches, so it was a different doctorate. But I got here, and this place is nothing better than me. This school itself, the Black liberation theology that it teaches, the fight against oppression that it teaches day in and day out, the classes, the realness, the blackness of Jesus, our Christ, that it teaches. I love this school. This school has had a major impact on my life. I have realized that there is a purpose why God has had me here, God has sent me here. A little more about what I do in the city of Nashville besides a full-time student at American Baptist College. I am also the active youth minister at Kane Avenue Baptist Church. So there's a third denomination for you guys. But I am the youth minister at Kane Avenue Baptist Church, active associate minister also over there. And I spend 4 out of my 7 days at the church house. We got a lot of different programs going on. I do a lot of Second Harvest food, a Second Harvest emergency food box. We have an emergency food box program at our church, and I do a lot of volunteering over there on throughout the week. And just you never know who might come through them doors that needs some help, that might need some food, and that might be the longest walk of their life just to come and get some help. They might feel ashamed and embarrassed. And my job, I feel like at the Second Harvest Food Bank, is just to make you feel welcome, make you feel like Jesus is here and Jesus has provided this for you, and this is just two fish and five loaves, just a piece of it. And that's one of my main ministries that I'm doing, and that's, I love the Second Harvest ministry we have at our church at Cane Avenue Baptist Church. I didn't say that already, Nashville, Tennessee. But that's one of our main ministries that I love, because it's something about not knowing who's coming through the door, but it's also better knowing who's coming back through the doors. I have seen so many people who came just to get a food box in Sunday morning worship, at 5 p.m. worship, and come back because of the fact that they felt the love of God, and they realized that God provided this food for them, or God provided this assistance on a bill, or assistance on maybe just a couple of dollars just to get to work the next day. And it's just amazing what God is doing with that Second Harvest ministry. And any churches who are listening out there, find a way to get connected with a food bank. One out of five Americans are still trying to figure out how they're going to eat today, and it's only 8 o'clock Central Time. So we have to find ways to feed our family, because how can you tell someone about God that will give them all they need and their bellies is empty? It's kind of hard. It's kind of hard. It's kind of hard. So that's just some things I do in Nashville. I do a lot of churching. I do a lot of visiting. As a young preacher, I've only been preaching for 1 year now. I do a lot of business at other churches just to listen to older preachers, just to, I'm still finding my voice, as one might say, in the preaching world. I'm still, I'm a gifted preacher, but it's still always good to listen to older preachers and veteran preachers who, just been doing this a little bit longer. So one thing about us ABC students is that we do a lot of church. And we, 3 or 4 Sundays, services a Sunday most Sundays. Just to find that desire. We're just looking for that comfort in God, and it's just wonderful.
Yes, the Bible speaks about the old man training the young men, even if they don't know that they're training them. And as you said earlier, it's always, always important that you are, the Bible says, a written epistle read of men. Your life must always be, not that you're not going to make a mistake, but you don't know who's watching you. You don't know who God has highlighted you for someone to follow after. So it's always good to start your day off with prayer and ask God to guide you and to lead you. And I'm just so excited, Timothy. I'm so happy that you are an example to your family as well as to the world, and God has a purpose for each one of us, and it's so key to find your purpose when you're young, when you have when you're able to go from church to church and, minister long hours, and someone can call you at night and you have the youth to be able to wake up and, we of the older young sect, I'll say.
it's a lot of responsibility. I was telling my friend last night, as I said, it was his 21st birthday this week. I said, we turned 21 years old. We have been probably to all these clubs, but he's from Detroit, from Kansas City, not different cities. But now that we turn 21, we don't even got anywhere to go. We don't have nothing to do. He says, listen, Doc, we're preachers. someone might call us tonight. You got a radio show to do at 7 o'clock in the morning, And it's a different lifestyle. It's totally different. I love it. I wouldn't trade in for the real. I have one of the older guys on the campus, Brother Sammy Pinard. He always says this to us. And he says, don't say, I wish I knew what I knew then now. Learn it now. So you won't have to look back and say, I wish I knew. If I knew what I knew then, now, then I could do this. Learn it now. We have the opportunity, all of us, right now, to learn something today, no matter how old or how young you are. Learn something today so you don't have to say, if I would have knew this back then. And that's what we have to do. We have to learn how to get ahead. We got to get ahead of life. We can't keep chasing life from the back. We have to learn how to get with God so we know that as long as we are with God, God is ahead of this earth. He is still going to lead us. He's not going to never forsake us. And once we get with God, then we will realize that he is the head. He said we should be the head and not the tail. And that will put us ahead in life. That will give us a more positive outlook. It's going to be hard days. It's going to be trials. It's going to be tribulations. But God, over 2,000 years ago, sent his only son and told death, you got to behave. And if death has to behave, then sickness and frustration and stress and family problems and all those other things that we deal with in our daily lives, they have to get right in line, right behind faith, because God has victory all in his hands.
Yes. Well, we have some callers, Tim. Let me see if they have some questions for you or they want to give a testimony. I'm going to go to, I have a call, 678 is your area code. If you don't want to say anything, you don't have to say anything, but I'm going to open the line up for you. And your line is open now. Do you have a testimony or would you like to ask Minister Timothy a question? Okay, you don't have a question. Okay. Hello? Okay, we're going to go to the next call.
All right, don't be scared to talk to those callers.
Okay, maybe I cut them off too early. Are you there, 708? Okay, we'll go to the next caller, and this is a 209 area code, and this is Brother Michael. He's been on our call before. Are you there, Brother Michael?
Yes, ma'am. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I see you've been on. You've been listening to this awesome young man. Do you have a question for him or a testimony that you would like to give?
Yeah, just a brief testimony and would like to encourage the brother.
Okay.
You know, my heart is overwhelmed hearing that he's only 21. It is a blessing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 53. I grew up in a city called Oakland, California. And okay. And you know, I have a lot of family that was in the lifestyle, and I somewhat dabbled just a little bit. I wasn't a major figure. I didn't carry the weight like you did, but yet I was in sin. And one thing that I did do when I went to Europe and got into trouble, went to prison and got out by the grace of God, he allowed me to go to prison. And in prison, I remembered my upbringing, although it was in a Baptist setting. You know, I remembered how my father, who was a pastor, and my uncle, how they prayed that I made a comment to God and said, Lord, if you get me out of here, I'll serve you till I die, not understanding the extent of what I was asking him. I was only asking because I didn't want to spend no more days in a German prison. And so when he released me, I came back to California and got right back into the trouble that I was already getting into. And the shootouts began to happen more frequently. The robberies began to happen more frequently. And looked like death was knocking on the door, but he never let none of those things happen to me. And when I got saved, the first thing, like you just said, going back to Kansas City, it's incumbent upon you. You got to do that. I went back to my gangster friends and thugs and back in the hood where the dope dealers and the rivals was and went and witnessed to them. Didn't win them all, but there was quite a few that came out from under the auspices of the hand of Satan, and a few of them today are pastoring churches, and I thank God. So I just want to encourage you. It makes my heart feel joyful to know that God has chosen another Paul. He has another Paul for the dispensation from the youth that have disconnected themselves from hearing the teaching of the older. And, you know, coming up, that's one thing that sticks with me. My mama instilled it in us. She raised 10 children, and she made us understand that the child that was 11 months older than me was my elder, even though I didn't see him like that. He's only 11 months, but this was instilled. So a respect for my elders had always been there. So I listened to the older people, to what they were saying and the lessons that they were trying to relate to me. And I find that our music of today, the hip-hop, the rap, it is a disconnect within itself that causes the youth to become rebellious. They don't want to hear, you know, y'all done did that. Well, I thank God. Again, my brother, I thank God for you. Please, and what you do, you stay grounded. Stay grounded. It's easy as a young minister to become lifted up because people will begin to hear you. People will draw to you. And what I failed in my early ministry, because I didn't have great teachers, they were hustlers in the pulpit, and they were going out doing what they was doing. And my thing was, I thought women were drawn to me because how I looked. I thought they were drawn to me because the smell good that I put on. They were drawn to me because the clothes that I wore, when what they were really drawn to all the time was the anointing in the Word of God. And when I began to realize it wasn't me, but it was God that they were attracted to, I was able to separate me from the things of God and start doing it exactly like He wanted to be done. So again, my brother, I encourage you. I thank God for you. And please go out there and let the youth know Jesus Christ still lives. Because He lives in you. Amen.
Yes. Amen. I bless you, Doc. I bless you for the powerful testimony. Powerful testimony. And stories like that is why I refuse to give up. When the refrigerator is empty, you know, on this college campus, sitting around looking for a meal to eat, we know that Lord is going to send a ram in the bus. It's those stories there that to take you all the way to Germany to lock you up, to get you all the way out of your comfort zone. That's what Marvin Sapp says. He'll take you out of your comfort zone and just to bring you back to where He needs you to be. And that's the powerful testimony. I bless you. I need encouragement. I always tweet out, who is supposed to encourage the person? Who's supposed to encourage everybody else? And I bless you, Doc. I thank you so much for those words of encouragement. And I promise I'm going back, and I promise that I'm going to try everything that God has put into me and given me to save as many souls as I can. And I tell people all the time, see, your mind frame is you're trying to get rich for yourself, and I'm trying to make the whole world rich, you know. And you try to find money, I'm trying to give Jesus. And it's a wonderful life. I'm happy. I'm filled with joy right now. I don't know what to say. I'm blessed by your testimony, God.
Brother Michael, I'm going to ask you to just say a prayer for him, Minister Timothy, if you would mind.
Oh, no, I don't mind. And you could give him my number, and you could call me. I stay on 24/7. I love you, sir. And God saved me. That's what He made. He told me my phone is a phone for ministry 24/7. So, yes, I will pray. Your kind and gracious Father, Lord, we thank you for another day, oh God. Father, we asking you right now in your most holy name to first forgive us for every sin that we committed, known, unknown, sins of omission and commission. Father, I lift up this, your son, God, you have anointed, that you have chosen, that you have set aside for such a time as this. Father, I'm asking you right now to continue to strengthen his inner man, God. Cause him to continue to hear your voice and to know your name, that you alone are God. Father, I pray that you continue ordering his steps. You open the doors that need to be open unto him, and those that need to be shut, we thank you right now that they're closed, God, never to open again. Father, every spirit that would exalt itself and oppose itself against your will for his life, we call it defeated right now. We come against every spirit of the enemy that would even try to attack his mind. Satan, we command you to loose your hold off of his life. Be removed, be thou cast into the depths of the sea. And those of you that are in disarray and disobedient spirits, we command you to go back to the dry ground from whence you came. Father, we thank you that everything that he sets his hand to do, God, it will prosper. I touch and agree with him right now, God, that you shall give him the desires of his heart. Father, as you were with Brother Paul, you be with Brother Tim. You take him into the belly of the beast, oh God, and you show yourself mighty in him. And as Paul said, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? God, you saved him for this hour, God, to reach back to the youth. Now, Father, we ask you to send out a charge in Kansas City, Missouri, in the whole state of Missouri, in Tennessee, God, everywhere that he treads and walk upon, we pray a charge right now that every spirit would be subject and obedient to the words that shall come out of his mouth, God. And we pray for the prophetic word that you have given unto him not to fall short, because you said your word shall not return unto you void. So we pray that it's sent, God, and it shall accomplish the very thing that you sent it to do. Father, we lift up his family right now, his loved ones, his sister, God, even right now that you touch her from the crown of her head, even to the sole of her feet, total deliverance in her life, God. Cause her to hear your voice and to know your name. You alone, you are God, the creator, the maker, the giver of every good and perfect gift. And Father, we're careful. We're grateful to give you glory. And even as he accomplishes the very thing that you gave him in the school, God, let it be of an excellent heart and an excellent spirit. Father, we ask you right now in your majesty's name that you grant unto him this petition. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful prayer, Doc. Beautiful prayer.
Thank you, Brother Mike. Thank you. Thank you again for calling in and giving us your testimony. There are so many young men and women, and even all men and women, that need to hear the testimony that God loves us. God so loved us, hallelujah, that he gave. And that's what we're supposed to do. I've been hearing a lot this year about giving, and that's what you're doing, Brother Mike, right now, and even what you're doing, Brother Tim, is giving back what God has given to you. And I just bless God for you men of God coming on the radio and giving your testimony. And I'm going to go to, I have a caller on 217. I have another caller on 209, and I know who that is. That's our host. that's our host, New Destiny Ministry, evangelist, pastor, teacher, Dr. Adrienne Bernard, and I'm going to get to her last, but I'm going to go to 217. To see if they have a testimony. And thank you, Brother Mike, and don't go any place. I'm gonna put you on hold, but don't hang up if you can.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so 207. That was a powerful prayer, wasn't it, Tim? Powerful. 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 Uh-oh, I think I lost it. 217.
Good morning. I'm here. This is Melody.
Oh, Melody, how are you?
Oh, I'm blessed. I'd just like to say I've been very impressed and uplifted by the testimony this morning. I just recently moved away from Chicago, and if I get a little, I'm a little teary-eyed right now. I lived in a gang war zone for years. And just recently, last year, it just got worse to the point that myself, my children were almost afraid to go outside. Someone got killed, and I really don't even know the whole story. But I'll just say my son was jumped on. He was kicked in the face one day. And that was enough for me. Right across the street from my house, just sitting on the porch, the young man walked up to him and said a few words to him and just began beating him in the face with his foot. And if he had hit him anymore, it would have put my son into a coma. And so I just thank God that we were able to get out of there, you know, before things got worse. And I just want to say that your testimony gives me hope. It and it also lets me know that people are still being saved and delivered from that kind of stuff. And especially, well, not just my neighborhood, but I just hope and pray that, you know, at some point that, you know, these young people will begin to see that there's more to life than hanging out on the corner, carrying guns. You know, every time I read the newspaper now, especially the neighborhood that I grew up in, everybody's over there going to jail. If they're not going to jail, they're being shot and killed. And so not only do we need to pray for that neighborhood, but all over that, you know, what am I trying to say? that the Lord's will be done. Hopefully, I pray that, you know, these young people will just wake up and see that, you know, there's a better life. And, it's been many times I've told my kids, I wish, you know, we could invite some of these kids that's standing on the corner to church. We never get to that point. But I pray for all of them. And I don't know what else to say.
One thing I want to say is, as Christians, we have to remember that the Bible says no weapon formed against us shall prosper.
Amen.
And we cannot be afraid. My grandmother, Louise Lee, last time I was in Kansas City, before I came back to school for Christmas break, I heard her say at least 10 times, lock the door, hurry up, be careful outside. And I said, Grandma, you can't be scared. You live in this community long enough, people have been living.
Mm-hmm.
And we as a nation cannot be scared. We have to get the courage that says that we come to church, young man. Come to church, a Bible. Because that's all that they need. Because we have to remember that God is using us. God might be already working in their life, and all they need is for the lady, that the only lady in their life that they might respect, because they stand in front of her house and sell drugs and she doesn't call the cops. And you might look at it and say they hate me, but they really probably respect you.
Mm-hmm.
And all you need to hear is it's come to Christ. I'm in deep prayer about Chicago. That's the president city, and the two times it has been election years, in 08 and 2012, we had a black president, over 500 people. In those 2 years combined, 1,000 deaths total in Chicago. Now, if no one sees a message in there from God that each time that he has got reelected, it was a 500 people who have died.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know history in the long run, but it cost a lot of lives.
Mm-hmm. And so,
prayer still works, man.
It does. And I hate to say, but a few of those kids that used to mess with my son, because we've had all kinds of stuff going on, and these people are no longer here. And so, you know, I would pray every day, you know, Lord, cover my kids. I know we're all covered under the blood. You know, keep them. And so, you know, I know things could have been worse off. And we used to tell my son all the time, you know, had we not moved, who's to say, you know, if he'd even still be around or, you know, hanging out with the crowd. It was just that bad. And so I thank God for, you know.
I congratulate you for the courage to remove your son. Because if you don't show them more to the world than all they see, that's all they will know.
I know. And so now we're in the place, you know, it's so quiet. You know, we don't hear police cars and helicopters flying and paramedics, you know, driving down the street. We don't hear any of that, and it's so quiet. When we first moved here, I had to actually, like, take a deep breath, you know, because it was so different. I'm actually, like, in the country now, you know. And so anything you do here, it goes in the newspaper, picture, everything. And so we just thank God, you know, that we were able to make it out safe.
Yes, ma'am. I praise God for that for you. I don't personally know you, but I will, when we hang this phone up, always, when I say I'm praying for somebody, I try to do it immediately. I don't want to forget. After this radio show, I will send a special blessing on your son because God kept him for a reason. And I need you to remember that.
Yes, he did. And I also want to say, it doesn't have anything to do with you. My moving here, and maybe I shouldn't even say this on air, but I just want the saints to pray because I was forced out of my home that I lived in for almost 53 years due to some family confrontation. But I know God is able. And today my dad still does not talk to me or my family. But I know God is able.
He's able. Don't.
And so I don't want to go into detail, you know, about it on the telephone. But God is able, and I'm just asking the saints for your prayers.
Always remember this. I'm 21 years old. You probably lived my life twice already.
Mm-hmm.
One mother, you only get one father. At the end of the day, you only get one. And that's all I got to say about it. You only give once, so never give up on trying to have a relationship with your father.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he literally drove me and my children out of my house, you know, besides the gang activity. And so I just, you know, just keep him lifted up.
Sure. Don't
he
look at him as negative. Remember that.
I'm not. He won't talk to any of his children. None of us.
Everything.
You're right. Okay, so I'm done talking this morning.
Thank God. I thank God for you joining the call, Melanie, and know that there is nothing too hard for God. And like Minister Timothy was saying, that your son actually could have been killed when he was attacked.
And mm-hmm.
God has a reason for him being here, like
mm-hmm.
was saying. So ask God, you know what, in Job said, the thing that I feared the most came upon
mm-hmm.
me. So
mm-hmm.
we have to look into God, what is my son's purpose? And even how old is your son?
19.
Okay. He needs to be asking God. That's what I'm telling my sons, have been telling them for years. What is your purpose? Ask God. Don't try to figure out yourself what your purpose is, because you can wander and be a nomad. That
right.
And it's someone that just wanders and wanders and wanders.
Mm-hmm.
Find out. Ask. Pray with your son in your family time of prayer, if you have a family time of prayer. And
uh-huh.
ask him to show him, more importantly, to show you, show
mm-hmm.
him what his purpose is for. Because we're living in the perilous times. We're in the last days. We
mm-hmm.
are in the last days. And God has to have, he said, when I return to the earth, will I find faith? And faith means that I might be afraid to do something,
mm-hmm.
but because I know that God is backing me, I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you ask God to help. And Brother Tim, I'm going to ask you to pray for Melanie. And what's your son's name?
Devin.
Devin. Okay. Could you say a prayer for this?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Lord, our Father, we come to you now, Lord Jesus. Humble as we know how, Lord Jesus. First, we want to thank you in advance for all that you have done, Lord Jesus. We want you to reveal your revelations to this family, Lord Jesus. We want you to reveal why you have done what you have done, and let it know that it's all for your glory and for their good, Lord Jesus. We ask you to continue to send your angels around them, above them, beneath them, and through them, Lord Jesus. We ask you to fill that hole in their heart that they're looking for, Lord Jesus, that only this you can fill, Lord Jesus. We ask you to continue to send your love and your grace and your mercy, Lord Jesus. We know if it had not been for the Lord on all our sides, Lord Jesus, where would we be, Lord Jesus? We thank you, Lord. We ask you to continue to walk with each of us, Lord Jesus, as we continue to face life's troubles and trials and tribulations, Lord Jesus. We just ask you to continue to move in us, Lord Jesus. Move within us that we might help someone else that might come saying, what must I do to be saved, Lord Jesus? Allow us to continue to use our testimonies, Lord Jesus, as your praise, that someone might say that if God did it for them, then God can do it for me, Lord Jesus. We ask your cover and protection, Lord Jesus. We do not know all the troubles of the world, but Jesus, you do know, Lord Jesus. Someone is on this call right now, Lord Jesus, looking for prayer, but too scared to ask for it, Lord Jesus. This prayer is for you also. We ask you just to continue to keep seeking God. And as long as you continue to seek God, God will continue to seek you. We ask you to continue just to be strong, be encouraged. Lord, we'll never put more in than you can bear. Just to keep your faith. It's only a test. And I ask for you to continue to bless them, hold them throughout the rest of 2013, Lord Jesus. Have your way, Lord Jesus. We thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for calling in, and you have a blessed day, and know that God is the author and the finisher of our faith. He holds our times in his hands. And God will be glorified. We're going to leave the air, but we don't have to get off the radio, off the call. But I just want to promote New Destiny Ministry. She comes on every day at 1 o'clock Pacific Time, New Destiny Ministry. And we thank the callers for calling in. Don't hang up, because we're not finished. We can continue to talk. And if there's another caller on that I wanted to get on, so I'm going to switch. thank you for tuning in to They Overcame, and God bless you until next week. Okay, there's a caller on that 678 that I'm going to bring on. And you have a blessed day, Melanie. 708 is...
Hello? Hey, praise the Lord. How you doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored, and I will not accept anything less than that.
Amen. Give us your name.
Yes, Sister Tanya Caldwell.
Tanya Caldwell. Okay. Oh,
yes,
you're Evangelist Adrian's friend.
Yes. Well, that's my auntie. You know, that's my spiritual auntie. Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. Well, great. You've been on for a while, so you've gotten a chance to hear Minister Timothy. Do you have a question, or do you want to encourage him, or give him some words of just say something to him?
Yes. Well, actually, I do, you know, because his testimony, I mean, it's an awesome testimony, you know, and it's powerful, and I do know that God is able, you know, because me, myself, God had delivered me from a whole lot of things. I'm originally from Chicago, just as the young lady said, but I'm living in Atlanta. And for so many years, you know, I too sold drugs, you know, in and out of jail. And it's like each time I would go in, you know, when I go in, I have time to sit down and I read the word and study, and I feel like I get strong. And I always say, well, when I get out, you know, I'm going to stay in God. But as soon as I got out, I always went back around them same folks. You know, so what I learned, you know, with this walk is anytime we want to change things in our life, we have to change the things in our life, which means the people too, you know, whether they're family members or not. You know, so I just want to encourage him, if you just let him know, to just keep himself rooted and grounded, you know, just like he stands, you know. But he has to always connect himself with real, true fasting, praying, Holy Ghost-filled folks who's walking in holiness and righteousness, you know, who will not compromise for the word. Because when you begin to compromise for the word or hang with folks who's compromising the word, then you're going to start compromising. And then before you know it, you're going to start slipping to the left, then slipping to the right. You see, and then before you know it, you're going to be back out in the streets. You know, but I just thank and praise God for all the young folks, you know, who have given their life to Christ, you know, who's standing for holiness, you know, who's presenting their bodies as living sacrifice. I know sometimes things get hard for us. You know, that's why we can repent, you know. But the most important thing is to fast like never, ever, ever before. You know, fasting is the key. You know, so I just want to, you know, continue to encourage him to keep standing at work, you know, and God is able, because God is able. And for the young lady who was just speaking about her son, that she moved from Chicago, and she was talking about her father and her family matters, I know last year on the show, New Destiny Show, and she might want to ask Evangelist Bernard what date it was so she can go back and listen to it, but we had a whole week segment on forgiveness. And see, me too, also, at that time, I was having problems with my family members for years. You know, something happened when my mother died. So from the show, you know, I received strength and I received direction from God. And what God told me to do was write letters to my family members. Now, even I felt like, you know, they did something wrong to me, you see, but guess what? The word says sometimes we have to give up our rights for somebody else's wrong. So I went to write letters to different people and everything, and I started calling people, and I started hitting people on Facebook. And it seemed like in the beginning, nobody was receptive. But don't you know, at the last day of the year, I had one sister to call me and tell me that she loved me. You know, so now my family has been reconnected. But what I even learned about that forgiveness is sometimes, you know, we may feel like we ain't did nothing in the situation, you know, but sometimes the other person would think that we have. But if we never talk about it, you know, if we never talk about it, then we'll never get down to the bottom of it. You know, so in everything that we do, of course, we have to pray about it first. You know, we have to be directed by God, you know. But one thing I can say is as long as we remain fasting and praying and just keeping it real in the word, you know, not faking, you know, not having skeletons in the closet, you know, then God will be able to use us. You know, as long as we remain humble, because what it is, we have so many souls out here, you know, that need to be saved. And, of course, we can't save them. Jesus can. But the greatest commission is for us to go out and compel them to come in. And what better way to compel them to come in than to give them our testimony? You see, and see, I have children, too. I have a son that's 20. And him and I, you know, we have some words and everything. And he got upset because he said every time I prayed, I was praying against him. You know, but I was trying to let him know it's not just you. You know, when I pray against drug demons and alcohol demons, you know, and these men and women in the streets, I'm not just talking about you. But then I had to realize that he was still looking at me as when I was in the street. You know, because remember, I was in and out of church. I was back and forth in and out of church. You know, so now he's finally getting it. Okay, you know what? This time my mama's for real. You see, so even with our children and other people, we can talk right. You know, we can look good. But guess what? It's about our living. It's about our lifestyle. You see, that's what people is looking at. And believe it or not, people watching. People watching how you walk. You see, they're watching, you know, everything that you do. You know, even your sideline conversations. You see what I'm saying? But that's how we draw them in. Even my son, you know, I'm still praying for him. You know, he's still out in the street. But guess what? But God said that my kids are going to be saved. He said they're going to be saved. So I constantly pray for them, you know. So, but that's what I just want to say. I just want to encourage everybody on the line. God is good, but I do know fasting, praying is the key. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for that call, and you are so right. As I stated earlier, the Bible says that we are written epistles, head of men. So what comes out of your mouth has to agree with how your lifestyle, especially in your home, because they're the ones to see the real you. You know, we could put as Paul White said, we could put, oh, no, that wasn't Paul White, but anyway, he said we could put makeup on it, and we could put five clothes on it, and we look like, you know, we got it all together. But the real us is in the home. And our families, our children, our spouses, they're the ones that see us for who we really are. So we do have to pray and fast. Just ask God to help us to do. Not that we're not going to ever fall. We do fall sometimes. And that can even be an encouragement because your son can see now, well, mom has been, you know, back and forth, but now she's really standing for God. So it is something to this God thing. It is something to this God thing. Thank you so much for calling in.
Amen.
And we have one more caller. I'm sorry, Brother Tim, did you want to say something to her?
Well, I just want to say, just keep on keeping your faith. And one thing that you pointed out that when you said it, I felt my heart jump. Fasting is key. And for all those out there that don't know about biblical fasting, there's many different ways. I suggest that you Google biblical fasting. Fasting is key. And keep your faith, man. Keep your faith. It's only a test.
Amen. Okay, there is another call. It's a 919 call. And we're going to go to that caller now. 919, you're on the air.
Praise the Lord. Good morning to everyone. Can you hear me?
Good morning, my brother Thomas.
Oh, God bless you, my sister. I love you, Brother Tim. God bless you, my brother. I thank God for you. You're doing your honor this morning. It has truly blessed my spirit this morning, and I just thank God for you. I thank God that he has blessed you to be a blessing. Amen. And to add on to what Brother Tim has said is the flip side of that. We hear how he went in and out of life and in and out of the church and things like that. I just want to bring a word to those that are saying that they're on the fence and living on the fence in the church. We want to go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. Okay, it says, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejects the law of Moses did without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay." And again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And I just want to say that to those of us that are in the church and playing on the fence, there's no fence. You're either for the Lord or you live for the devil. And to encourage you to stand strong and to stand in faith, no matter what the circumstances look like, no matter what life seems to bring your way, it is a test that you have a testimony. And in the testing of your testimony, you are to grow and to mature in the spirit that we all become one in the faith, that as we begin to become one in the faith, we are able to do great and mighty works. Now, to those of us that have, we see the turmoils and the situations in our communities, Chicago, all these places where all the murders and the crimes are taking place, I encourage each and every one of you to begin to pray for your communities, to pray for your neighbors. Every time you see it on the news, begin to pray. Begin to pray the blood of Jesus. Begin to pray change and transformation. Begin to pray and call those things that be not as though they are. Call in what God wants us to be, God's kingdom. Call it in. As we see these things and as we begin to pray, change takes place, transformation takes place, and the circumstances that we see will begin to change, become what God wants us to be, because he's calling us to come to a place where we are prepared for the return of Jesus, a body without spot or wrinkle. So I encourage you to stand strong in the word, to walk by faith, but yet do the will of God, and to continue to pray for one another. No matter what it feels like, whether they hurt you or not, just pray the love of Jesus Christ for them. In other words, kill them with kindness, and that's the love of Jesus. I thank God for each and every one of you that are ministering here this morning. For it's a word of encouragement. It's a word of strength. It's a word of rejuvenation. But above all, it's a word of life. Life that would bring life to those that we come in contact with. For we are the church, not the building. We are the church. The people are the church. And as we go in and out of the street, in and out of the stores, in and out of the office building and the workplace, we are to represent Jesus Christ as ambassadors of Christ. And as we represent him, we carry him. And as we carry him, we carry his glory. And as we carry his glory, we are the light of the world. And as the light of the world, when people look upon each and every one of us, they don't see us, but they see the Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the hope that they're looking for. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
God bless you.
Mm-hmm.
You, Brother Thomas, I'm going to bring Sister Adrienne on the words of encouragement we thank you for. Sister Adrienne, are you there?
Yes. Yes, I am. Praise the Lord for each and every one of you. Truly, God has brought the word on this morning. So many ministers on the line that is living the life. Oh, God, I was just sitting here in awe with tears in my eyes as I heard the young man's testimony and just reflecting upon my humble beginning and also just thinking of my children. And, you know, my son was 21 years old when he murdered a boy in New Orleans doing a life sentence right now. And also my sister was 24 years old when she was convicted of money laundering under the PCE, you know, the drug kingpin law. She's been in prison 20 years this month, Minister Timothy, 20 years. She's 45 years old. And as you all heard, Minister Mike, he's a strong advocate for my sister. We're here in California. So just listening to him, you know, and I have so many family members in New Orleans. I've been going almost 30 years, and God has done some miraculous things in my life. And I just feel oppressed now, and I've been feeling this for the past several years to go back. You know, the Bible says after you have been converted, then you have to go back and strengthen your brother. We're doing a series this week, Minister Burns, on the Acts of the Apostles. We on a 21-day fast. And we did 2 weeks, and our topic was the benefits of fasting and prayer. And I tell you, I've been seeing God just doing some things that, you know, hope deferred doesn't mean that it's the end. When something is deferred, it's just put on hold. Hallelujah. But the promise, if you go to Acts 2:38 and 39, it says Peter encouraged them that was in the upper room and those that were on the outside to repent and be baptized, every one of you. But verse 39 is the key verse, because even 38 is the most significant verse in that act, in that book of Acts. But that second verse, Minister Timothy, it says, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far. So the promise is just not for our immediate family. It's for our children, our grandchildren. It's for our cousins. It's for our next-door neighbors. The promise is unto all of us. And I tell you, my heart is just so full today. And I just to see Minister Burns taking this segment and seeing what God is doing. I mean, we just don't realize what our future holds. God, we have a destiny in Christ Jesus. And just look at, oh, God, I bless you on this morning. Just thinking about sometimes you come on the line, they may not have but one or two people, but you can go with so very important about what God is doing in this season. He is opening up avenues. He's opening up pathways where we can teach and preach this gospel, because Jesus said no man will be able to accuse him of anything. This gospel is going to be preached to every creature, woman, man, boy, and girl, because no one will be able to accuse God. And as I look at this Blog Talk Radio, and I'm a promoter, but I'm promoting a gospel. In the past 12 months, we have had over 24,000 listeners that go back, Minister Timothy, into the archive, and these messages are being recorded. So if Blog Talk Radio is recording these messages, what do you think about Jesus? Everything that we do, everything that we say, God has a record. Hallelujah. You don't have to worry about a virus. You don't have to worry about anything crashing, because God has a mind of his own. Oh, I bless the Lord today, and I just want to encourage this young man. 21 years old. I have grandchildren, Minister Tim. I have a granddaughter be 21 in April. I have, my daughter was murdered in the streets of New Orleans. She was murdered at 25 years old. She left 4 children. Then my sister's been in prison for 20 years, and I raised her daughter. 5 children, so I know about single family household. But I'm telling you, God didn't bring me out the streets of New Orleans for me, but he brought me out for souls, because guess what? Souls are dying, and it's just not about our soul and no more. We have to reach the masses. We have to go beyond our off their walls. Hallelujah. We have to go to the neighbors. We have to start door knocking, Billy, like we was doing for ADT in Atlanta. We got to go door to door and give a track. Don't like the door. Are we with me? Jehovah Witnesses too. We're just not carrying the gospel that they have. Amen. So I am encouraged, and I want to tell this young man that sky is the limit, because you're going to be able to reach some souls that I can't reach, that Minister Billy can't reach, that Minister Michael Evangelist Caldwell can't reach. You, there's some souls that's designated just for Minister Tim. And, oh, God. Let me go. I just want to encourage you this morning, and I want to encourage Minister Billy Burns to keep on with this segment. I don't care if you got to work sometimes. Have somebody to stand in your stead, because once you put yourself out there and you begin, yesterday alone is a prime example. We were in a prayer, faith, and miracles conference, and they had a prophetess, and I tell you, God filled that place, Minister Burns, and it was about 12:35, and I had to get somewhere to get to a computer to host my broadcast. I don't take no time off, even on a holiday, the New Year, the Christmas. Brother Mike will tell you, I'm on this airline, on this airway, because guess what? This is my assignment. And anytime God gives you an assignment, you better be passionate about it. You better stand firm in what God has given you. Hallelujah. So I had to rush and get to a computer to host this show on yesterday. And I want to tell you all, we're in the book of Acts. And the Lord told me, I said, Lord, this is a hard thing. This is 28 chapters. We may be on this till Jesus comes. He said, I want you to talk about the Acts of the Apostles. And I've never preached 5 days straight on the broadcast, Minister Burns, but the Lord said to do it, and I had to be obedient. Hallelujah. So be encouraged, Minister Tim. God got some great things in store for you. Be encouraged. I don't care what comes. God ain't going to find everything. Hallelujah. Every day ain't going to be a good day. But all you have to do is continue to look to the hills. Continue to remember where God has brought you from. He's got some great and mighty things prepared. And look ahead, because God is not through with you yet. God bless each and every one of you all on the line today. We thank you and we appreciate you. Really give me their addresses and what have you. I like to stay in touch with these people, the saints of God that come on this line. God bless you.
Okay. Amen. We're on. This is Tim. I don't know if you were on, but this is our great nephew from Kansas. You know, Al is from Kansas City. And this is our great nephew from Kansas City. And God is just doing some awesome things with this young man, and we're so proud of him, and you know, just proud that he has given his life to God. And Tim, did you want to say something to Evangelist Adrian?
I just want to say, keep on. I hear your passion and your passion. And as you were talking, I closed my eyes and I said, "Oh my gosh, reminds me of my granny." I hear. It's nothing like, I love listening to the mothers of the church and elder women of the church. Oh, it's nothing like a good praying woman. Oh man, you keep on praying. And please keep me in your prayers.
Thank you. Bless your man, God. Okay, well, we thank God for the callers we had. 9 callers, Mr. Adrian, on this morning.
Oh, that's a blessing.
Yes, and I just want to say that I just started and created a group, and it's called They Overcame, and I want you to put your testimonies on there. I want you to put your prayer request on there. It's public, and I'm not sure how to navigate it, and maybe Tim can help me after the call. I'll give you a call, Tim, that you can help me to that I can make it public. I don't want my page to be public, and I know that it's attached to my page, so maybe you can help me or one of the boys can help. But anyway, we thank God for every caller, for Minister Michael, for Melanie, for Thomas. My sons were on. They didn't want to say anything, so I just hope and pray that what has been said has uplifted everybody. I know it has encouraged me, and you're right, Sister Adrienne. I have been under attack, as I put in my family email. I've been under attack. My family's been under attack since starting this ministry, and I said, I am not coming down the wall. I got my shield in one, hallelujah, in one hand, and I got my breastplate of righteousness. I got my feet shodden with the preparation of the word. I got my helmet on, and I am for the fight. I am for the fight. I just want to say that God is in control of everything, every situation, and I will not come down. I will not come down. I will be here. I am. My husband is taking me on a cruise for my birthday. And, Timothy, I didn't know your birthday was in February. But mine is as well. And my husband is taking me on a cruise. And so I'm going to have somebody to host a call for me. And not to put you on the spot, Tim, but do you think that you can host it for me on the 9th?
The 9th of February?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. We can arrange for that. We can definitely arrange for that. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great. Okay, and the New Destiny Ministry is on every day, like Sister Adrienne said, and she actually, we're under the umbrella of her ministry, New Destiny Ministry, and her call is 1 p.m. every day. And then on Sunday, Sister Adrienne, you Sunday, what time is your call? We're in church. I think it's 10 o'clock our time. What time is it your time?
We're on Monday through Friday at 1 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time at 4 o'clock Eastern Time. And on early Sunday morning, we have corporate prayer for 30 minutes. And that's 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's 10 o'clock Eastern Time. I know you're getting ready to go to your houses of worship, but it's early here in Cali. So if you can give us 30 minutes and we just come together and pray, then we're going on to our different houses of worship. So that's we're on every day. Somebody's on this line, even with Saturdays with Minister Burns. So the call-in number again is area code 858-683-1334, and you can go on live and listen to these messages in their entirety at blogtalkradio.com. Search for New Destiny Ministries, and you can go back and listen to some of these awesome men and women of God with testimonies and with the word from the Lord. Amen.
Amen, amen. Okay, well, thank you all for calling in, and this has been a blessed day thus far. God has been truly glorified, and until next week, I'll say goodbye, and God bless you.
God bless. I thank you for having me on.
I'll give you a call, Tim. I'm going to give you a call as soon as I hang up.
Somebody,
yes, ma'am.
Tim, I'm sorry. You please end us in prayer. Yes, end us in prayer.
It's a prayer. Well, let us bow. Lord, our Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord Jesus. We ask you to continue to bless this ministry, Lord Jesus. We know that you have made a way for this ministry. You want to continue to make a way for this ministry, Lord Jesus. Continue to strengthen each of us on this call, Lord Jesus, that we might see what you might have us for us to do this day, Lord Jesus.
We thank you for all that you have done for us, Lord Jesus. We ask for your ark of protection, Lord Jesus. Continue to cover us, Lord Jesus. Continue to guide us, Lord Jesus. Continue to lead us and use us for your glory, Lord Jesus. We thank you, God. We ask you to continue to strengthen us, Lord Jesus, where we might be weak, Lord Jesus. Bring us, Lord Jesus, and increase us in numbers, Lord Jesus. We know that we will never leave your presence, Lord Jesus. But as we leave this place of the phone, as we gather together, we just say thank you one more time, Lord Jesus. And amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless.